My guest at this time is Lee Edwards, Distinguished Fellow in Conservative Thought at the Heritage Foundation in Washington. He is also chairman of the Victims of Communism Memorial Foundation in Washington, and he is the perfect guest to speak to in response to President Trump's address to the Polish people on Thursday, in which he extolled the fierce desire for freedom of the Polish people throughout its many generations and the need to preserve the traditions of Western civilization against the forces that would seek to undermine it. And Mr. Edwards, thanks very much for being with us.
Well, my pleasure, Greg. Great to be with you.
First of all, the president spent quite a bit of time talking about what he sees as the great history of the Polish people in resisting those who would oppress them. In fact, he said, quote, through four decades of communist rule, Poland and the other captive nations of Europe endured a brutal campaign to demolish freedom, your faith, your laws, your history, your identity, indeed the very essence of your culture and your humanity. Yet through it all, you never lost that spirit. Your oppressors tried to break you, but Poland could not be broken. Lee, obviously the Polish people know their history, so they didn't need Trump to tell them, but perhaps it was instructive for the American audience, as well as any others in Europe who happened to see the speech. So what was the significance to you of him including that detailed history?
Well, I think it was key to what he was trying to say. And of course, it was not so much, as you say, for the benefit of the Polish people, but for the American people, and I think for the people of Europe as well. He was speaking to members of what we call the West, and those are the democratic countries of Europe, would include also UK, would include Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and even Japan, for that matter, which is also a liberal democracy, and how all of these things are not based upon just sheer economics, but what he called over and over again the spirit of a people. And I think for Poland, as a matter of fact, I know that for the Polish people, their spirit is based upon their faith in God. Mr. Trump spoke and used those very words.
Lee, and then he, as you said, he used that as a springboard for talking about larger shared values between our two countries. Let's talk about a couple excerpts from the speech here. First of all, he says, we are confronted by another oppressive ideology. In other words, since the fall of the Iron Curtain, one that seeks to export terrorism and extremism all around the globe. America and Europe have suffered one terror attack after another. We're going to get it to stop. And so bringing that sort of solidarity together and talking about the new threat that's seeping and creeping into Europe, in some places faster than others. Talk about that a little bit.
Well, what he's doing, it seems to me, Greg, is saying that, look, just as we defeated communism in what we call the Cold War, and of course it took a while, some 40 years of determination and diligence and unity and some ups and downs, as we know, but just as we were able to defeat communism, so too can we defeat radical Islam if we come together, if we pull together, if we work together, and if we are united by a common faith and a common commitment to democracy and to liberal ideas, to those basic ideas of a free speech and free assembly and a freedom of religion.
What does Poland understand, and perhaps we should throw the Czech Republic to a large extent into this category as well, in terms of how jealously they guard their freedoms as opposed to the more liberal attitude of old Europe, as Secretary Rumsfeld said a number of years ago, that they don't take in the refugees. They're not about the encroachment of the state. And we'll talk about that in a little bit as far as the Trump speech as well. What lessons are they applying from their emergence from being behind the Iron Curtain that differentiates them from the rest of Europe right now?
Well, I think it's a question of this word solidarity, if you think about it. And that, of course, was the name of the trade union, which wound up with some 10 million members of Poland joining the Solidarity Trade Union, and really a movement, a political movement. And that solidarity was based upon shared common values, common interests, and to have without any restrictions, thousands and thousands of people of a different faith, a different religion, a different background, different political system, just would have not only disturbed, but might very well have cracked that kind of solidarity. And the Polish government was not going to have any part of it. And as you say, the Czech Republic as well.
Lee, let's talk about a couple other excerpts from the speech now. The president certainly taking a shot at Russia here, which I'm sure was not a problem for most of the Polish audience. He said, "We urge Russia to cease its destabilizing activities in Ukraine and elsewhere and its support for hostile regimes, including Syria and Iran, and to instead join the community of responsible nations in our fight against common enemies and in defense of civilization itself." And then he said, "Finally, on both sides of the Atlantic, our citizens are confronted by yet another danger, one firmly within our control. This danger is invisible to some but familiar to the Poles, the steady creep of government bureaucracy that drains the vitality and wealth of the people. The West became great not because of paperwork and regulations, but because people were allowed to chase their dreams and pursue their destinies."
It sounds like he was running for the president of Poland there a little bit, wasn't he? But yes, those, again, very eloquent phrases, of course, going back to his own campaign in this country. But I think the first part of that, Greg, is where he's sending a very clear message to Vladimir Putin, whom I believe he's meeting or scheduled to meet tomorrow. And I think he's sending a signal to Mr. Putin saying, look, I'm going to sit down with you, but don't think I'm any kind of patsy that you'll be able to roll over. I'm a tough, hard negotiator, and so let's talk, you know, man to man about these things and not try to pretend that there are not serious differences, but let's try to resolve them. But I know it seems to me that what Mr. Trump is saying, he's going to be dealing with Putin from a position of strength, just as Ronald Reagan did when he negotiated with Mikhail Gorbachev some 30 years ago and ended the Cold War.
When it comes to Western civilization, he also said, "We must work together to confront forces, whether they come from inside or outside, from the South or the East, that threaten over time to undermine these values and erase the bonds of culture, faith, and tradition that make us who we are. If left unchecked, these forces will undermine our courage, sap our spirit, and weaken our will to defend ourselves and our societies." Lee, what's your take on the way the West is looking at Western civilization? It used to be this underpinning that galvanized and seemed to unite people. Now it seems to be something that is the source of great debate. And in some sectors, it seems like it's something to be embarrassed of because we somehow see it as superior to the alternatives.
Well, I think there's no question that some of the values that the United States and Europe share have been weakened. That is to say that in Europe, which has, of course, this extraordinary Christian heritage, and this is something that Václav Havel, the former president of the Czech Republic, talked about, in which he said would bring Europe together. That Christian heritage certainly has been weakened, although there are some signs that among young people that there is a comeback of a faith, which is all to the good. I think also there is the idea of the, since the Renaissance, of a emphasis on the individual and the importance of the individual keeping such things as having his own private property, his own business, being able to achieve particular heights based upon his ambition and upon his energy. There's an awful lot of that, I think, also, which has been subsumed a little bit by the, as you say, the growing bureaucracy in Brussels and elsewhere in Europe. So these are troublesome signs and trends. So what I think Mr. Trump was trying to do is say, look, let's go back to the tried and to the true, to those values which did bring us together, did unite us, made us a strong continent and a strong West. At least I think that's what he was trying to say.
Let's look at it from the other side briefly. When we see the type of concessions being made in Western cultures, it leads a lot of folks who value the Western civilization traditions that we've had to worry that it is eroding and eroding quickly. So how much danger is Western civilization in your estimation, and what are the keys to making sure we don't lose it?
Well, I think that what he was offering up was Poland as a model of what to do and how to answer this challenge and how to redress this imbalance, which is evident in some of what Donald Rumsfeld, as you say, used to call the old Europe. That is possible. And Poland proves it is possible to be a people of faith and to be a people of independence and to do well economically. I think probably it seems to me, because Mr. Trump kept talking, using this word spirit over and over and over again, I think what he's saying is that man is made up not only of an economic side, but a spiritual side. And let's make sure that we keep both of those in balance and that we give, as a matter of fact, more attention or as much attention to the spiritual as to the economic side. And what better country and a better people to do that than Poland and the Polish people?
Trump is obviously a divisive figure in many parts of Europe. He was very warmly received in Poland, however. How important is it for a president to give this message, and does it make that much of a difference that it comes from a fairly polarizing figure?
Well, I think it's important because this is sending, Poland is the most important country. It's at the center of Europe. It's the most important of what we used to call the old captive nations. It's a leader. And it's in, by speaking to them and by getting that kind of response, I think that he and the leaders of Poland, the United States and Poland, were coming together and sending a very clear signal to the rest of Europe. Look, let's remember where we've come from, what has made us great and powerful, making it the West an invaluable part of history over the last 1,000 years. Let's not cast all that aside and get caught up in bureaucracy. And so I think it's a powerful message, and I think it's beautifully timed on the part of Mr. Trump, and I think he's to be congratulated for showing that kind of leadership.
Lee, we'll have to stop there. Thanks very much for your time today, as always.
My pleasure.
Lee Edwards, Distinguished Fellow in Conservative Thought at the Heritage Foundation. He is also Chairman of the Victims of Communism Memorial Foundation. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.